I want to know that they are, in fact, I think, talking about launching, as you say, the next study, even before they get back the C08 results. And I think what's being discussed right now is exactly what you're saying, which is adding on an EGFR inhibitor, either cetuximab or panitumumab, to FOLFOX bevacizumab. What are your thoughts about that strategy, and which one of those agents do you think is going to make the most sense?
In terms of panitumumab and cetuximab, well, at least looking at the single agent data, they look reasonably equivalent, don't they? You know, I think what's interesting, of course, about panitumumab is the ability to give it every 2 weeks, the fact that we don't see the allergic reaction that we do with cetuximab, and all of that's certainly very interesting. What may be most telling about panitumumab is obviously the PACE study has enrolled reasonably well, and the comparable study, namely the CLGB study, which is asking the same question about adding cetuximab to bevacizumab, is really just coming out of the block. So if the PACE study is positive, and positive even before the CLGB question with cetuximab even completes its accrual, well, that may give panitumumab a leg up just because it's first on the block to demonstrate benefit in frontline disease.
Can you review the design of the PACE study?
Of course, yeah. The PACE study is principally looking at FOLFOX and bevacizumab with or without panitumumab. There is as well a FOLFIRI component, but that's a smaller subset of the population. So ultimately asking the question of whether double antibody is of benefit, and I think a logical study, the CLGB study of somewhat similar design, allows investigator choice of FOLFOX or FOLFIRI, and having three arms, bevacizumab, cetuximab, or both antibodies being added to that chemotherapy regimen.
That's adjuvant or metastatic?
Metastatic.
Right. Where are we in terms of predictors of response to EGFR inhibitors?
There's some early studies that are looking at a series of markers, both looking at microarrays as well as selected markers. And I think my guess is in the next 2 years, we're going to see some interesting models that actually can predict response. Clearly, EGFR by itself is not predictive in terms of its level of expression. We realize that mutations in EGFR are decidedly uncommon in colon cancer, and they may not even matter with the antibodies. But presumably, there's going to be a series of downstream events that actually may ultimately predict. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about some early studies looking at a series of microarrays and sort of very exploratory analyses. And, you know, where this is going to fall out, I don't know. I mean, I've been privy to some data, but I think it's too early to really recite it. Ultimately, just to say that I think in the next 2 years, I presume we're going to see some interesting data that might predict response.
How about response to bevacizumab?
That, I think, is going to be a little bit harder, because I think it's a little bit harder to know where to look, because for the most part, levels of expression of VEGF or even the ligand doesn't seem to predict response to inhibition to bevacizumab, and it's a complex pathway. So clearly people need to look, and we'll look in a similar manner. I think it's easier to look at predictors for EGFR because I think we understand the pathway within tumors a lot better.